Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this age of tolerance, and Christians are often viewed as killjoys, party poopers, and malcontents, always pouring cold water on everybody else's happiness. Now, you could debate that idea. I suppose there's some points to be made on both sides of the argument. Sometimes maybe we do become so overwhelmed with the ugliness and the stress and the strain of life, with all of its hurt and its pain, that we lose the good in the good news that we've been given to proclaim. And then it's no wonder when that happens that the world around us regards the gospel that we preach as mere background noise rather than the very power of God for salvation to all who believe. I don't know what you think about that question, but I know where the prophet Isaiah would come down. He says, "Shout and sing for joy, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." See, Isaiah is not called the fifth evangelist for nothing. The prophet reminds us this morning that we do have good news to proclaim in a bad news world. Our great-grandfathers in the pastoral office, and yes, for most of you, that's your great-great-great-grandfathers, they used to speak of Freudigkeit im Amt, that is, joy in the pastoral office. Not that they had no ungodliness or wickedness in the world that they lived in, or that their congregations somehow were without turmoil and conflict, or that the devil, the world, and their own sinful nature was not joined together in holy, unholy alliance against them and their standing before God. But all of that weighed in the balance meant there still was joy. For you see, they knew that the joy of the ministry had nothing to do with the state of being at the moment, but rather that Jesus Christ has given his ministry to his servants for their enjoyment. It was in the midst of his distress, the very night, in fact, of his betrayal and agony in the garden, the night before his dereliction on the cross, that our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And I think that's the secret to joy in ministry. Namely, that you can't dredge it up from within. It doesn't always reflect the surroundings and circumstances of the moment. Rather, the joy of the ministry is a borrowed joy. The joy, in fact, that Jesus had from all eternity with his Father in heaven and in harmony with his Father's will. That's the joy that he intends to share with all his servants as they do the ministry that he has given them to do in his name. That my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, those of you who learn in this place, and those who teach as well, have found out by now that happiness is a flimsy and fleeting thing. Can be here today, gone tomorrow. You might have started out this brand new quarter with a set of intentions, all of them good, but before you know it, all those worthy ambitions have kind of caved into reality and the nitty-gritty of the grind. Happiness has a way of slipping through your fingers, but joy is another matter. For joy can coexist with the worst scenarios imaginable. because it's rooted, you see, in Christ and his saving work. It was for the joy that was set before him that our Lord Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. The sinless Lamb of God bore your sin in his own body on the tree, that you, being dead to sin, might now be alive to righteousness in Christ Jesus. And in that cross, the very cross where Jesus bore your shame and your death, that joy is to be found. A joy that finds its culmination in the glories that are yet to come. Isaiah speaks of that day as he directs the attention of God's people to the glorious culmination. The day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. Now we look around us, even though there are bright possibilities on occasion, we know that we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Then we shall know fully, even as he now knows us. Now we weep and lament, but then when we see Jesus again, we will rejoice, and no one will ever take our joy from us. When the dwelling place of God is with men, then sorrow and sighing will flee away, says Holy Scripture, and death shall be no more. And God himself will wipe away every tear from every eye. We have his word on it. So be of good cheer, for although in this world you will have tribulation, Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Happiness comes and goes, but there is nothing in all creation that can ever rob you of your joy. You are men and women of good news precisely because you are men and women of the cross. The way of the cross, to be sure, appears backwards and upside down to a human way of thinking. For God's highest work is accomplished in utter lowliness and degradation. His power is shown in weakness. His love comes by means of suffering and death. And yes, his joy is often wrapped in sorrow. For the Lord God is your strength and your salvation. He is your everlasting song. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation, and thank God that well never runs dry. So then, let the hope of endless glory now fill your hearts with joy and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.